Okay, how many of you guys, welcome by the way, how many of you know which workshop you're in?
Collaboration.
Collaboration, okay. Collaboration, right? Okay, well let me introduce our panel.
What a servant.
You guys know all these guys, I'm sure.
Thank you.
But we have Mark Young from Marietta, Georgia, right here on the end.
Thank you, to be here.
The name of the ministry is?
Massey Ministries.
Okay, I'll let you say something about it, but since you're an evangelist, that'll take too long for us.
That's funny.
Reed Saunders.
Hey, everybody.
Evangelist from Portland, not Portland.
Salem, close Salem. Enough. Salem. It counts.
And from the South, Keith Cook.
Yeah, on the go.
Hey, guys, I'm just a quick introduction, and we'll pray, and then we're just, this is going to be an informal time where we can dialogue back and forth and ask questions. For me, you know, long story short, you know, I was in business. I was a Christian. In 1998, I took my family on a missions trip to Juarez, Mexico. I went to the across the border with a bus of 40 people, and I was an arrogant American Christian businessman. I thought, we're going to take care of all the poor problems here in Mexico across the border. And God broke me, humbled me. We were weeping. We found out we were on that Mexico missions trip that and the leader kind of the trip said, what are you doing? Why don't you get up on the roof and share the gospel? I thought you were like wanted to do evangelism. So kept pushing me. I found out on that trip that, you know, there wasn't, you couldn't buy enough beans of rice, you couldn't fix enough houses, you couldn't fix the problem. Only Jesus could minister through their heart. So it changed us. We went into ministry, started a ministry out after that called Lifelight, where we did massive Christian music festivals and we did outreach. And then did that for 20 some years and have passed that on to my son-in-law and my family now and a great team. So excited about that. So for me, it's a little bit of this, you know, kind of when I said, hey, we passed the baton, and my kids go, oh, have you really? You know, so are you did Josh jerk it out of your hand? Did you let go of it? So there's that pull that we've had, but we are blessed now, myself, to be officially part of the NGA Palau team. And so the reason I work for Palau is really to serve you guys, NGA members. And same with these guys. These guys are on the cabinet, Mark, a long-term NGA member. We here have all collaborated together. And so I just, before I came in here, because what you have here today, I'm going to sit down in a second, you know, we just can't help it. you have four evangelists who didn't collaborate before doing this session. Okay? Yeah. All of a sudden NGA says, oh, you guys are doing that workshop. You're going to do a thing together. I said, okay, well, I think we can do that. So it'll be as much your participation as it's ours. But collaboration. Dictionary definition.
Well, what he meant by we didn't collaborate on what we're going to say. We collaborate together, like in the last three or four years,
we
have done more projects
Absolutely.
Together.
Yep.
Than we have probably done in the last 20 years
we
with anybody else.
We have all been in each other's events. Like he's been the lead, and I've been in multiple countries with him, both back and forth with Keith and I, with Mark. We've done stuff together, and we're planning more as we're here. So collaboration. Now, the action of working with someone to produce or create something. Collaboration with. Is being an active member of a group that works together to achieve a common goal. Being an active member means you not only participate, but you contribute your part to the group. So, you know, at NGA we say one mission, many expressions. So recently, and I'm going to sit down now, and then we're going to have some questions back and forth, but recently I've been giving this message to the church because we were doing these small festivals, and Josh, my son-in-law, called on me, the second string guy, to preach at a couple of them because he was somewhere else. And one of them, I was like, this is a small town. And I said, who's going to be in the audience? Because the town is like ultra-religious, you know, denominations steeped in one, some of them wouldn't even come to a festival. They might even think the whole theology of festivals is wrong. So I'm praying about what do we do? And so I'm speaking to the church, but also knowing that there's lost people. There are lost people within the church even. And I said, you know, I feel like God has given us three things really to the church. Unity. Okay, John 17:21, we all know. I mean, Jesus said he prays that we would be one so that people would know who Jesus was. So unity, and you know, St. Francis of Assisi, which all the church people like to quote all the old fathers, said unity, unity in the essentials, freedom in non-essentials, and love in all things. And so I'm thinking, well, that's what God's calling the church to. Surely he's called us as evangelists to that, you know. Kind of interesting, we heard, if you heard Andrew's story about starting out early and kind of lecturing the church on being unified, and he said, well, are you evangelists unified? It's wonderful to say that up here on this podium and throughout NGA, we really have been, and we want to continue with that. So unity, second thing, was love, because the Bible says in John, you know, Jesus talks in John 15 about the love for one another. They will know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. And then, you know, he talks in there that not only are we then his disciples, we're no longer slaves, but we are friends. So unity, love, and the third thing was, I think the message is, we are to go. We are to go and proclaim the good news. And, you know, so often maybe churches get duped in that. No, it's inside the walls, but we're commanded to go. So if we're commanded to go and we're supposed to be unified and we're supposed to love one another, then it all ought to be natural that we would collaborate together. And so for me personally, and then we'll kind of open it up to these guys, some stories, but for personally for me, when we started the Lifelight Festival as part of our ministry, I mean, we started out with collaboration, because I just thought, coming then out of the business world, I thought, well, wouldn't it be like, isn't it like common sense that we all work together? You know, I discovered, I mean, some pastors looked at me like they kind of felt sorry for me, because I walked in and said, hey, I want all you guys to like come together and worship together at our festival. Have a church service together. And they were like, well, that's not really done. You know, Billy Graham doesn't even ask us to like cancel our church services. But that was the world I had come out of, is why wouldn't we do that? And so the business community and the secular community, I can guarantee you, are moved when they see collaboration. They're like, oh, they are working together. You know, shouldn't we be? So there's a balance in all that, but I think working together will have its challenges, always has its challenges, but the rewards, it's more than worth it to be collaborating together for the kingdom. And that's why we do this NGA conference, really. Is okay, we are one together. And, you know, I'm sure that every time you guys, and you are going to have plenty of experiences, you can tell us that every time you've done an event or a project together, you can tell us about some of the challenges. Because you have, it's just like, I've gone to quite a number of Palau festivals and other festivals. Rita's and all these guys have spoken at other events. I know you've spoken at like Christian music festivals all over the country. And it may be that at some of those you would go, I go, okay, but they have that group included, or this speaker. Yeah, but the essentials of the gospel of faith in Christ are all the same. So, you know, you some of that other stuff, what does it matter? You know, because the essentials are the same. And so collaboration is always worth it, but it's sometimes difficult. So I'll let you guys now maybe each tell a little bit of your story. And
well, awesome, definitely. Once again, I'm Mark Young from Massive Ministries, my festival ministry partner in crime, my wife. We have a ministry based out of Marietta that is kind of a twofold. We do the City Fest, but we also do a lot of local missions with outreach. We do a lot of feeding the homeless. Our vision of our ministry is to mobilize, develop, and engage the next generation of urban youth for missions. And if you all remember the actual old Karate Kid movie, you know, he did all of this stuff not knowing he was going to be a karate guy. And, you know, sanding wood and everything. And that's the way we do with outreach. You know, well, why am I feeding the homeless? And why am I cleaning up this yard for this elderly couple? Well, we're preparing you for missions, whether it's locally or this out of the country. And then the second part of it is bringing them to the festival where, as Alan was saying earlier with John 17, we can all go out and tell people about Jesus, but if they don't see unity from us, they would never know he was sent. Because it reads in John 17:23, he says, I am in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Mm-hmm. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So what does collaboration look like is when there's multiple evangelists or multiple churches serving one kingdom, that's when the we feel and we see in Atlanta and other cities that we've worked in, where they come up to us and the main question is, well, what church are you from? Well, what organization are you from? And there's a multiple of people saying, no, I'm not telling you to come to my church. I'm telling you to get a relationship with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead you to a church. So that's kind of what we do. Just got back from Africa, and it really flipped me and my wife upside down, as Alan and Reed has told us. It's our first trip in July, so we're looking to go back to do that. But glad to be here. Love the collaboration. And Keith and Alan has really been pouring into me and my wife over the last few years, and we're so thankful for it.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, two questions you might be asking yourself is, like, why should we collaborate? And I'll give you two answers. First of all, it's biblical, right? I mean, I'm looking at Mark 6, when Jesus sent out the 12 and later the 72, he sent them out in pairs, right? So there's strength in numbers. And when Jesus was talking about at the fields being ripe for harvest, what did he tell us to pray for? What? For what? More workers, right? For more workers, exactly. And so the second reason is that I need you and you need me, right? We're the body of Christ. We need to be in this together. I was speaking at a festival in Dominican. And this year, we've done 6 international trips, and all 6 of them I've done with other evangelists. And so, it reminds me of the story. I was in the Dominican, and this pastor said, "Rig, I tell you this story. How many of you have used a translator before when you've spoken? A translator, an interpreter, okay?" So, and those are some other stories with me. But this guy, he told me the story. He's just classic. So he said, "Hey, Reed." He said, "There's this guy from America that came to preach at my church, and I couldn't find anyone to translate." So the pastor gets up in front of the whole church. He says, "Hey, here's Brother Joe from America. He doesn't speak Spanish. We can't find anyone. Hey, can anyone translate for Joe?" And this guy in the back row raises his hand. I mean, can you imagine doing that? Church raises his hand. "Hey, come on up." So the guy comes up, and he's translating for, you know, Pastor Joe as he's preaching. And there's this dear little woman in the front row, and she's kind of listening and scratching her head like, "Man, this guy's not saying anything that this guy's preaching." So finally she comes up to the guy afterwards and she says, "Hey, you weren't saying anything that this preacher from America was preaching. Do you even understand English?" And the guy's response is classic. He says, "Well, no. He gave his message and I gave mine." You ever wondered though when you say like Jesus loves you and the guy goes on for 20 minutes? You're like, where did that not come in anyway? But in reality, a lot of people pretend to be something or someone they're not, right? Amen. And as evangelists, we kind of think we can do everything on our own, right? But the reality is we can't. We need each other. We need to be together workers in the harvest field. And so collaboration means we're doing this together for Jesus. I have a saying, I always say, all for Jesus. And that's what it is, right? I had to come to my own realization that that God didn't need me, Reed, to reach the whole world for Christ. He needs his body to reach the world for Christ. It's each of us to be a part of the harvest field. Just like you see talking to believers, they think, "Oh, sharing my faith for my pastor or my evangelist or my missionary." No, it's for all of us who follow Jesus, right? And so collaboration means we can reach more together. Amen. Since I started collaborating with my brothers up here, Keith and Alan especially, and brother here as well, that we have seen more, our ministries reach more people for Christ doing things with other evangelists than we ever could do on our own. Right? Because it's stronger together. The Bible says that a strand of 3 cords is not easily broken, right? Amen. And so we need each other, right? And I think we're in a new era. Back in the day, you'd have like one evangelist doing everything, right? If you look at history from the Moody's to the Whitfields, right? Down to, you know, Dr. Graham and even our hero Luis. A lot of them on their own, right? But I think Luis started to catch that when he started Next Generation Alliance. Absolutely. Back in the day, sure. That we can reach more together. And I think in this new era where we're at, I mean, especially in America, we've never been more divided. Amen. So if the body of Christ and us evangelists can be united, I think we can reach more together. And so a couple things that have been helpful that I've seen in collaboration is, one, we just can be together serving Jesus, you know, as friends, as co-laborers. And so it's a great camaraderie, great friendship. I mean, I love these brothers, and, you know, we're family. And a lot of you, we've served together. PJ was just in Philippines with me, and we're going to go back again to Cebu in a couple years. But there's 3 things I just want to tell you that I've learned from collaboration. 3 things, okay? One is that we can reach more together, okay? More together being resources is one of the things, so we can pull our resources. I mean, all of us who are in fundraising, it's tough, right? But remember Philippians 4:19, God says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And we can reach more together, okay? Secondly, as you were talking about, Mark, that when we come together, we're a testimony to the body of Christ. So when we, like, for example, we're doing six events. I leave for Russia on Saturday with another evangelist doing a festival in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh City, in December. When we've been meeting with these pastors, and I've been talking about me working with two or three different evangelists, they're shocked. They're like, what? You're going to share the pulpit with someone else? Are you crazy? And it's actually opened the door. We've seen through our collaboration events that pastors have been doing pulpit swaps with other pastors leading up to the festival because they've seen us evangelists working together. Yeah. You know? Amen. It's a shock. Amen. So anyway, that's the second thing, is we're a good testimony to the body of Christ. Because if you look at Ephesians 4, right? The work of the evangelist is to build up the body of Christ, right? Through proclamation, through training, and really just the way that we come along and kind of show people what it means to work together in unity. The third thing is the strength in prayer, okay? Because when we come together as ministries, we all have people praying for our ministries. And as you know, the spiritual battle is intense, right? I mean, we're out there preaching the good news of Jesus. We're on the front line, just like Greg said, you know, the devil hates us, you know, and the whole example that he gave with pulling the lion's tail. I mean, I think for us, we are pulling the lion's tails. We're preaching the gospel in America and around the world, and there's huge opposition. So when we can partner together, we have all of our ministries coming together, we have all the people praying for that one specific event we're doing in collaboration, man, the prayer covering's huge. Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. Yeah. So that prayer thing is huge as well. And then thirdly, and finally, I would say just the greater impact we can have in the cities that we're joining together, that as we're able to work together, we can branch out. And so, like, you can go speak at this church or this part of the city, this part of the city, not just the huge event, but we've seen us be able to greater saturate an area for Christ when there's more of us working together that can preach the gospel. And so we see a greater fruit and a greater impact. And really, I think it's the heart of God, right? It is that we are being like Jesus. We're humble servants. It's not about us or just our ministry. It's about Jesus. And the fields are ripe for harvest. Pray for more workers. And so when we work together, we can reach more for Jesus. So I just want to say that and encourage you that, you know, I need you and you need me. In fact, turn the person next to you and say, I need you. Just do that real quick. Right? Because we're a family, aren't we? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not I need your money, I need you. I heard that from one of you guys. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I just
you can give all you want.
Yeah.
But we do need you.
Yeah.
Hey, you just said something that I thought, well, I've thought of that, but when you said prayer yeah. strength.
Right.
I mean, when you think about it, when we collaborate together, my team's going somewhere, your team, everybody then around our sphere are all praying.
Oh yeah.
So, and by the way, you gave 4 points, not three. So
yeah,
that's
all.
I'm an evangelist.
That's all evangelists do. My wife always says, "You said you're getting ready to close."
In
but
conclusion,
you're keeping going,
that doesn't mean a thing.
but yeah, I've just seen a practical example to all those things. And you know, if we collaborate together, it's a testimony to others. It
yeah.
is. You know, recently we've had folks contact us from other countries with NGA, and there's a guy that was passed on to me. And his last name, he's from Liberia. And then all of a sudden, somebody passed another name on to me from Liberia, same last name. I said, well, are they got to be related. No, they're not related. They don't know each other. They're in the same city. They both are teaching and doing evangelism at separate Bible colleges kind of things. And I've contacted him and said, well, you don't know him? No, we don't work with him. We don't know him. I don't know each other. It's a test. We come in and we go, well, you need to. Okay, you need to be working together. Yeah. And then if they see us working together, that's how they do it. They yeah. work together. So yeah. anyhow.
Wow. Yeah. Keith Cook on the Go Ministries. I want to make this sort of practical for you because I know I come to these things all the time. We work together, all of us, and we're all friends. We're really friends. We know each other. We trust each other. So when Reed calls and says, hey, brother, can you come to Thailand and help us do this, I know exactly the kind of ministry I'm going to get in with. I know his heart, I know his character, and all I have to do is check in with God and say, God, is this for me? And he says yes, and I can tell Reed, and then we work it out. And it works out. Same thing's true with Alan. Alan can call and say, hey, brother, I've got this opportunity in Cuba. I know this is short invite, but hey, we're going in 2 months. Can you be there? Sure, let's go. So that it's easy for us to say collaborate because we've gone down the road together for many years and we trust each other. We're friends. Mm-hmm. So the clue here is begin to see others in ministry as friends and partners and co-laborers and family, and not competition for a city, a place, or a venue. Okay, you got to do that right off. You got to just give up your rights. And I'm going to start with how to get involved with collaboration projects. Okay, just three little things here, and I'm going to work from the bottom up. Volunteer for everything and anything. Okay? If you're not doing it local, you won't do it global well. Okay? Start, volunteer for everything and anything. Be a servant locally, statewide, countrywide. Okay? Just start. I mean, anything you hear of, call them up, see what's going on, how can I help? If you'll do that, you'll begin to be known as one, someone that's dependable, and you've got a track record. You know, it's not, next, ask. Email, text, calls, whatever, to see what's going on in partnerships in your area, in collaboration missions. Is there anything that people need help with? Ask those questions. Ask, is there anything you need help with? I mean, just try calling me and asking me that. Okay? Just, or anybody at this table. And there'll be at least five or six, because we do at least six international things and at least six USA things every single year that we need people. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone is going to say, yeah, I need you to come be the headliner. I need you to be the main speaker. No, but listen, Billy Graham's group, one of Billy Graham's Crusade Festival directors called me one time going down the road and said, listen, we're doing these Rock the River things, and we need to win more people to Jesus. And they're fantastic and they're great, but we want to see more people saved. Can you bring a group of evangelists to just work the crowd? Now, I could have said, brother, you know I'm into festivals now, and that's a little bit below me.
Main stage speaker.
But no, I said, yeah. And I brought 140 evangelists to the Rock the River St. Louis, and they were 101 winning people. They were down in the mosh pit winning people. They were looking around when Franklin said, hey, raise your hand if you prayed that prayer and come move to this grid. Nobody, some of them moved, but when the ones that didn't, the ones that raised their hand, I had a little evangelist mosey right on over to them and say, hey, do you understand what you prayed? I mean, the band, the final, even after the thing was over, I was standing in my pit just having fun jumping around with kids. You know, I'm 60 years old jumping around with kids, having a good time. And this girl is jumping right beside me. I said, hey, do you know what's going on? She goes, no, but, you know, this is cool, isn't it? I said, well, you know, there's going to be a party like this going on in heaven. And I'm watching the clock, and it says we're going to begin in 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes. And by the time the countdown clock got to where the band was going to kick it off, she just prayed and asked Jesus into her heart while we're jumping up and down. It was fantastic. We had evangelists doing that. Well, that happened because I had a relationship with Billy BGEA. I knew this guy. He was my prayer partner. He was praying back and forth. He was just going down the road praying, and he called. And I told him, if you need anything, call me. You got to do those kind of things. So ask, text, call, be in relationship with people. And then look around at what other ministries are doing. Look around and see if you have anything to bring to bear that can help. And I know it's strange to say that, but don't be ashamed, because listen, all of us understand, we're used to having to say to cities, to pastors, to leaders, to mayors, hey, you need us in your city. We don't want someone that thinks you might need us in your city. We want people to say, you know, we need you. You know, we want to be there. We want you to be proud of your ministry. We want to hear what's good about what you're doing. But then know that God will direct your steps. So ask and do those things. Just within the last, we just did a deal in Peru. Okay, just to tell you how strange this is. A crazy evangelist, Bob, you've all met Bob. Bob is crazy. He's over the top. He can walk into a room, and within 30 seconds, everybody's in tears. Everybody wants to give him $1 million. Everybody wants to, you know, just be a part of what's going on. He's just that kind of guy. He walks in the room, but he cannot lead. He's never led an international festival in his life. This guy has done 5,000 of them, and I've been doing it so long that I ought to know a couple of things. And we get together and do a partnership in Peru. He's not even speaking. He's not even on the program. But his ministry is helping coordinate a festival in another city that he could have done by himself without any help. Okay? So he sends his best to us. And Bob and I get to go into this city. Well, Bob's got, he told me before we did the partnership, he says, all I can do is show up and preach. Can we still do this thing? I said, yes. Because I know Bob. Having Bob for 15 minutes is better than having some people a whole life. Okay? I do the legwork. I'm in the city. I'm talking to people. I'm talking to the mayor. Listen, the mayor gets saved. Okay?
Yeah. Praise God.
The mayor gets saved because of a relationship through a site visit and then him, the visit before the festival and then being in the festival. He comes in with one of our t-shirts on. Okay? He gets saved and one of the counselors runs up to him and shares with him the plan, the follow-up. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm going, I can't believe this. The mayor's getting saved. He comes back the next night. It's just amazing what God did. But the thing is, what we had on that event, we had two evangelists, a youth evangelist, a music evangelist, two action sports evangelists, and they're all from all over the country. They all bought in. They all paid their own way. They all were a part of the team. They all were sacrificing. And not everybody gave the same thing. No one did the same thing. But everybody had their place. And we've got to be willing to lay down our rights and see. And really, it's so funny, the first night, it was my night to preach because it's the toughest night. I stood up and a monsoon came, tore down everything right before the festival. I mean, we were just, and I'm sitting there thinking, I want tomorrow night. But God blessed. It's one of those things where, yeah, I wished I was preaching the whole thing. You're not ever going to not want to preach. But you got to see the benefit, because the night that I spoke, I feel like, and the whole team felt like, that I was the only one in the world who could have pulled that off that night under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the next night when Bob spoke, I felt like he was the only one in the world who could have done what he did that night. And I was so proud to be a part of that. And when we saw those almost 3,000 people that responded to the message during that time we were there, when we saw those decisions, yeah, I didn't feel like, oh, that was his and that was mine. No, I felt like, look what God did.
Amen.
Look what God did. So it's really worth it. So we want you to get out there. We are better together. There's strength in numbers. You get more things done. You do a better job. It helps with the cost. You can help develop younger people that never done these things before. One of the reasons that Reed and I did this thing in Peru was because Bob's going to be a powerhouse doing these things, but he's never done one before, but now he's done one, and so there's no telling what he's going to do.
I switch back to Mark here in just a second, but just to follow up on a couple of things that you guys both said. You know, when I first started doing collaborative events, I'm like, okay, well, there's an investment on our part. Yeah, but it is more than worth it, because I look at, like, Reed, he's got a gal named Ruth, okay? She's the admin operational person, okay? So it's like, okay, that person's doing, that's the practical side of collaboration, because then everybody's gifts are utilized. You know, it might be that if our ministry, if Lifelight's going to do something, like, I'm going to say, well, Corey's going to take care of all this stuff for you, one way or the other, whether he is, and you guys don't have to worry about it. Corey's going to do it. Somebody handles that operations logistics side, which takes that off your plate if you were doing it on your own. I can't imagine some of the countries that I've been to, if I had to go in there cold and go, mm-hmm. okay, like, do I know a person who lives there? And how do we do the app operation side? How do we do the sound production events? All of those things that go into it. That's the beauty in collaboration. And next thing I'll say on that, which you've just reiterated, and it's kind of convicted me a little bit again. I mean, when we first did that missions trip to Mexico way back in 98, and then, you know, I led 40 mission teams after that, we'd go there, and what you would see is God's, the gifts would come out automatically. Because you'd have some person maybe at the end of the day when you debrief, and people have been sharing the gospel, and others have been praying with people, and others have been serving food, and somebody would say, well, I guess I didn't really get used by God today because I didn't lead anybody to Christ. And then you'd hear, no, you helped facilitate so that could be done, or you prayed with that lady. So you see the same thing at a festival. I recently was at a small festival in Minnesota, and we get there, and there's really not the kind of crowd that we had hoped for. And, you know, I preach the gospel, and, you know, I see there's some kind of response going to the prayer tent, and it's like, okay, well, Lord, this is your event, but, you know, it wasn't very many people here, and, you know, I didn't see that big a response. Well, the guy tells us that 35 people gave their life to Christ, and I'm like, I don't think there's 35 people in the audience when I was speaking. Maybe 50, I don't know, how could that happen? And the Lord convicted me and reminded me, well, there was a guy that was walking the crowd before I spoke, and having to do with my message, and he was personally leading people to Jesus and taking them to the prayer tent. He was a Gideon. And then there was people at the prayer tent, and my wife too, she prayed with some women, and there was people wandering over to that prayer tent all day. There was a few that came forward when I gave the gospel, but there's another guy I talked to, and he said, no, I gave my life to the Lord earlier today, but when you spoke, it just kind of reiterated, you know, solidified that. So that's how the Lord works in collaborative events, is multiple gifts get used. We did a collaborative event with you down in Marietta, and maybe you can share how many, because you had like Keith and Joan and Vicky and I and FMX, and tell us how everybody got utilized.
Yeah, that's definitely a strong collaboration. We brought in Zero Gravity, which is action sports ministry with drift cars and motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also brought in Alan, Keith, Jaime Marone. We brought in Josh and Lifelight, and then as well as I spoke, and that's me and my wife. Heart is, you know, definitely one thing we grab onto is one message, but it's definitely different many expressions. Mm-hmm. And being in the Atlanta area, everybody's truly in their own box in their churches. You know, it's kind of like even leading up to this festival, we do a thing called Massey Meals, where we feed the homeless on china on tables right outside on the road. Mm-hmm. And literally, we give you know apple cider and wine glasses and the whole nine yard, and we sit them down to the table. And one of the things the homeless like really thrive off is, which church is this? Well, it's about five churches right now partnering together. And we asked them three questions. You know, first question, how did you get here? What's your story? Second question is, where's your walk with Christ? And then the third question is, how do we help you get you off the street? So one church gives them showers. One church actually gets them homes, temporary homing. And then we have another church that give them food, because not one church can help all homeless. So that's the whole thing, and that's why we brought them down to the festival to see not just one evangelist is trying to lead these people to Christ. So, you know, we had a Brazilian praise team, a Hispanic praise team. We had Jaime to come in and speak and to share the gospel in Spanish. We even have a clown that shares the gospel. So
that was me.
No, but literally, the place where we are is called the Marietta Square. It's like right downtown Marietta, and it's not a place where people come and just hang out, but it is a place where people come and transit through. So throughout the day, we've seen about 3,000 people, and then we got about 50 decisions that we were able to record. But then what we know is we've heard people say, you know, I didn't come to the festival. I was across the street at the restaurant, and we heard you guys sharing the gospel. Well, the word has been planted. You know what I mean? So that's our whole goal is, you know, one water, one plants, and God will give us the increase. But the fact is that the public and those of the world who are not giving their life to Christ would see the unity in us. So it was awesome that they came down. We did a conference the day prior to that, and just trying to give the mindset of evangelists. Because in Atlanta, when you holler evangelist, the first thing goes, yeah, I know Billy Graham. Well, he was in the Carolinas. And so, but you know, you have many powerful pastors, but there's no truly evangelism going on in Atlanta. You have a couple, but no one is really doing it. So me and my wife is trying to be the catalyst of bringing evangelists together. One thing we love to say, unity does not mean looking the same. It's what gift God has given each one of us that we bring it to the table that we impact the kingdom. So like, for instance, trust me, I'm getting to the point to preach like an Allen and it Reed and Keith, but that don't mean I'm no less the preacher than them. It's just the fact that what God has given them, he's given me something different. How do we bring that to the table that we impact the gospel, impact the kingdom of gospel?
Can I ask a couple questions for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's a good transition because we're going to open it up to questions now. So, first.
So three things. And I think these three things are personal. Take it for what it is. You want to collaborate, and you've reached out to collaborate, and you've reached out several times to collaborate, but you don't get a call back, even though the welcome has been put out there. How do you deal with that? That's question one. Question two, when you go through personal struggles and troubles, how have you navigated through that and wrestling with the call? And I'll come back to these if you want. And then question three is, if you collaborate with someone, say I collaborate with Mark on something, what is the practical expectation of cost? Because I personally have been asked to be involved with things and then said party wanted me to cover the bottom line of the cost, not just pay my way to get there and be there. What's a realistic expectation for that? So okay. Anyway, I'll
let any of you guys take these, but when you say you reached out, the first question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's multiple levels of who you're collaborating with. One, obviously the church, like if you're doing an event in a community, we're collaborating with the church, other nonprofits, businesses, and evangelists.
I'm talking about other evangelists.
Other evangelists,
that, yes,
okay.
That, in that context, and they don't call back or
okay.
reach out back.
All right. One of you guys want to take that?
Sometimes that happens, quite frankly. I get lots. Because we teach a lot, you know, and try to help folks do this. For example, if I've got six projects and they're all full, I mean, like we've got so many, then there might not be an open door for that. And plus, I know sometimes as people will call me or text me or Facebook me, and I don't see it, you know, and so or I miss it. Or, oh, I'm going to do that when I get back, but then that's 2 weeks later, I'm home. So sometimes we mess up.
Yeah.
We drop the ball. We don't encourage. We don't help. You know, we miss it.
Yeah.
So forgive us. Really, I'm almost crying right now thinking that somebody would want to do something and we didn't call them back. But I know it happens. And we're sorry.
Has that happened to you guys too? Like where you've reached out to above you in the rankings?
Right.
Hey, I reach out to people below me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, younger, I like kids, and they don't even call us back.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the nature of being busy and
life.
Getting 4,000 emails, and you don't mean to, and you don't mean to come across that you don't need them, but it happens.
I think it's the busyness, plus, you know, the more you can do to build a relationship with some of those folks first, and then it's like, hey, we've got an opportunity for you to be involved in an outreach, would you want to be? But yeah.
So ministry collaboration would be best out of the relationship that's formed first, is what you're saying in that regard. Have that relationship with people first.
It helps.
Yeah.
Because
you know what you're in for. Yeah. I mean, you know, then the only thing that's left is the communication piece, which I think is really your fourth question.
Right.
Is communication has to be very clear on the front end on who's paying what. What's expected, and you know, sometimes I'm just not ready. If Reed calls and says, "Hey, I'd like you to come," and I go, well, "What's going to be my expense in this? What's my part? Well, it's going to cost X. Can't do it right now. Boy, if I had more time, but it doesn't mean I don't want to do it. And so we're just honest up front about it. You know what's expected of you, and what you're going to get from it. So.
The two things that we do, we shoot straight with anybody that's wanting to collaborate, and I'm gonna be really frank. When On the Go's doing projects, we call people and try to get them to collaborate with us, and it has nothing to do with money. Mm. Okay? Nothing. Once someone says, yeah, we want to do that, we want to do Cuba or whatever together, then after we've agreed that it's God's will and we're supposed to walk together, then we say, what's the budget?
Yeah.
Or we think the budget will be this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ideal situation is, like if we're doing this thing together, the three of us, then if I'm the lead partner, like I've got the contacts and, you know, it's sort of coming through us, I would say, Reed, I think the budget's going to be $30,000. Do you think Reed Saunders Association can help any with the budget? You know, what can you seed into this mission?
Right.
Alan, what do you think you could seed into this mission? Okay. And then we all sort of agree that that's the ideal situation. And that's the way I like to work.
Awesome.
But most of the time, what happens when it's coming from the outside, what I inherit is when I'm not the lead partner, what sometimes happens is, Keith, here you go, we're doing this project, and if you'll give us $10,000, we want you to be a part. Personally, I don't like that very much. I don't. But I like the ministries, I like the mission, I like the opportunity. So I pray about it, I take it to God, and I say, God, are you in it for me? Can I raise that amount of money? And then I commit to do it. Now, and something that I have to do, because our whole team, our whole staff, we all raise our support.
Right.
So we don't get salaries per se, and so I have to then take it to my board and say, can we do this? And like Reed and I were doing a project, and we agreed to do it, and the price was this, 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 and this, and I had to say, and I'm being real frank, because I've got three other projects going between now and then.
Yeah.
I can get you this at this date, I can get you this at this date, but not this date, this date, this date. And he had to think about it, they had to pray about it, think about it, and their accountant had to say, yeah, we can do that. And we did, and it worked. So don't be afraid to say, don't be mad at me here. This is just the way it really, this is the dirty part of what we do.
Yeah.
You know, this stuff that we don't want to get in trouble, because we want to be men of integrity and pay our bills, and you know, we've not been able to ever not do it, but we've had to be real transparent. And don't agree to things that you can't do. And I know some of us have been on things where people have said, yeah, we're gonna help, we're gonna do this, and they come on the project and you pay for everything, you take care of everything, and then nothing, they avoid you because they didn't do what they said they would do. So the memo of agreements are always good. The detailed plans are always good. Unreal expectations will break fellowship and friendships.
Right.
Okay, exaggerating what you think is going to happen, fudging on the decisions, and all that stuff is real.
Did we answer all your questions?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, can I just add to that? Being at the same level. Is that, I had the same challenge when I first came to NGA.
Yeah.
And I had went to certain evangelists and had the same, and I took it personal.
Yeah.
But what I found out was God wanted me to be with someone particular. And I had to find that person through patience, prayer. And then it became easy to develop that relationship first, and they brought me on an entry level. And then through that relationship, I had time to spend with Keith and Alan, and me and Mark is just brothers. We just, that's just everyday stuff. But it was through that one relationship that I could, we left Keith in Mexico.
Yeah, thanks. You've got to bring that up.
Thanks, buddy.
Now I'm going to hear about that from Joan again.
They left me, y'all. They left me. I mean, not just going to another church. I mean, left me leaving the
don't
country.
Don't leave your partner. Yeah,
I was a really valuable team member in Mexico. They left me.
I had no responsibility.
You're just one said, he'll find his way home. He'll find his way home. I heard.
He's a seasoned evangelist. He'll be able to find his way out of Mexico.
I think it's good that you develop those relationships. Like you've heard Louis Palano say and everybody else say, you learn to carry bags. And so, I didn't look for being on the main stage. It was like, wherever you need me.
Yeah.
If you need me as a worker, I will work. Wherever you desire me, I will go and do. And I found myself years later, a couple of years later, where, I'm thinking I had a little break and go out to the beach where everybody's preaching, and they're like, where are you? We've been looking for you. All of the other evangelists is in the hotel. And so I think it's just a natural thing like that.
Yeah.
Trust God.
Yeah. Well, we're a collaboration, and this just reemphasizes, confirms that. Where it works best is when you have a servant heart. You don't come in with, I'm the hotshot evangelist, I'm speaking from main stage. Well, then book yourself, get an agent, and get paid to go somewhere. That's not the same as what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I mean,
brother.
We're not about the show. We're about the soul, right?
Amen.
So, I mean, and so people do that. For years we did this massive Christian music festival. We pay bands. We paid some speakers. This is different. This is about you saying we're owning part of the event. You can promote it to your donors as yours. Reed does an event. He doesn't then call this the Reed Saunders Festival. And we're doing it. It's a city fest. It's a hope fest, whatever it is. And it's in that particular, what was yours called? Marietta?
Marietta City Fest.
Marietta City Fest. You know, so we could then promote that if we needed to raise our support to be part of it. As this is God's doing ministry in and through us there, you know, and he just happens to be the point person. So, if we're just going to go out and book ourselves, then just go get paid as a speaker. But to me, the joy is in collaborating together. And Pat Palau just got, I mean, most of us, I'm sure, got tears in our eyes hearing from her, but her final statement was, it's your hour.
Yeah. Amen.
It's your hour.
Yeah.
Okay? And then, so it's not going to be Luis Palau, Billy Graham, Greg Laurie. It's not going to be those guys in the next generation. It's going to be thousands of us working together.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Any more questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, probably just a little contribution to what's been said about collaboration. I want to say, I think also that ministries, church leaders should look at the Great Commission like something very important, and let's see how we can bring back the culture of evangelism back into every Christian individual. Because at the end of the day, I realized that oftentimes, if every single believer get that passion for evangelism, then the world goes much more faster. If Christians can be taught, because I believe that a lot of people don't evangelize, not because they don't know how to evangelize, but the passion is not there. And passion can only be birthed in a person from the stance of revelation. So if church leaders can bring to their members the revelation of why they got to get saved, and if each person picks up this passion, then, I mean, evangelism can spread like wildfire. So I think that in some broader sense, that would be a bigger picture of collaboration wherein every single believer and Christian is actively doing that.
I'm glad you said that, because almost nowadays, because I'm so old, almost every collaboration thing that I'm a part of, even when I'm not on the main stage doing things, is doing that right there, is mobilizing the church to do some one-on-one personal soul winning.
Yeah.
It's so relevant, and it's something that, you know, God's gifted me in. I've got tools that he's given me in our ministry to train people and get them out, sharing in 15 minutes, and I love doing that. And I just love people that want to go and do that for us in Colombia, you know, because it is the main thing. We saw in Peru as many people won through the schools and the action sports and the different things that we did around the city as we saw at the actual festival. It's amazing. So you are right. It's part of the mandate. It's not just about the big festival or the big outreach party or the plaza meeting. You know, it's that one-on-one. And
like just to share the story, for example, I guess it encourages. There was some years ago, I was going to do a crusade and conference in my country, in Cameroon. And on the way, I had an accident and I had a dislocation on my ankle. So I was taken to the hospital and they put on me, they call it POP, that's plaster of Paris, this white stuff. I don't know how they call it.
Cast.
Yeah. Okay. So I was in the house in pains with cast on my leg. Then I got a knock on the door. And just a part of these were Jehovah Witnesses. A man and a wife, and a man was coming also on crutches, with a cast on his leg. And he was actually in pain. I was in pain sitting, and he was actually in pain, but with the wife coming to the house to share the gospel. So I'm like, I mean, this passion got to be far way beyond what we could see as comfort or discomfort. So if each person gets to understand that, because that is one thing which helped me over the years as I was growing up. You know, if each person picks up this passion, it's going to be great.
Hey, I appreciate the fact that you guys are so mature, much more mature than me, not in your age, but in just...
You're getting close.
That's how I I'm getting at, but what I'm getting at is, it sounds like you guys have never dealt with pride. And I know that that's a challenge.
Look at my coat. You think I've never dealt with pride?
But no, that's. I'd love to hear how you overcame some of those, probably when you were 12 or 13. But how you overcame some of those feelings, because that's pride is what keeps us from collaborating. And then one quick thing, that some of you guys have read it, but my favorite book that I read this year is Rooting for Your Rivals. And for me, it was a fantastic book about that, the collaborative spirit. And the desire to, I want everybody to succeed because we all have the same mission. And so I just wanted to throw that book out for, but I'd love to hear some of your stories about how you overcame that desire to make it all about you, even though we know it's all about him. We struggle with that because we're human and we have egos. So.
I'm going to let somebody else answer that question because I think anybody who has the call of an evangelist, boy, pride is the biggest. I mean, that's we're all, because we all want to. My wife always gives up. She's like, she has to get pushed to get up and speak, but she does a wonderful job. And she says, "What is it with you? You're like, get me in the game. I want to talk. You know, a lot of evangelists are that way. That's where the pride comes out. You're right. I think we deal with it all the time. Prayer and being in close fellowship surely helps, you know, because we know their hearts. But anyway, you guys can.
Well, it's funny, like, when I first introduced to the Palau team, it was in Fort Lauderdale. If anybody remember Fort Lauderdale back in, like, the 80s and 90s,
oh my,
spring break was the deal.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out, how did they get 100,000 people on the beach for Christians and it was free? Like, how did you do that? And when I came to Portland, I wanted to learn on, it was Portland Fest they were doing, I wanted to learn on how to put on a festival. And talking about being a fish and put on a concert. And talking about being a fish out of water, I sat between two evangelists from Rwanda and India. And I was like, I am a nobody. You know, like, these guys are from another country doing evangelists. And then to meet, you know, Alan and Reed and come in here and kind of touch on what you said, was we came here, me and my wife would always say, we came to seek, soak, and learn, you know. Mm-hmm. And how do we serve? Like, literally, I got on the phone before we came here. It's like, Heather, what can we do to help? You know, so, but that keeps us humble, you know. And as me and my wife, as a quick story, we was part of this church and we was going through this, I think it was some type of Bible study. And they was like, you guys come sit up front. And me and Tish like, no, we're good in the back. And she goes, you should sit up front. I say, well, we're okay. So the following week we came, and the only two chairs open was up front. And the same lady goes, now you're going to sit up here. I say, well, the scripture does say the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I guess we'll sit up front. But we tried to make that not the pride, because like you said, it can blow your head up. But it's not about us, it's about God. And how to exemplify that to other people, because always other people are watching. Especially when you're on the main stage.
One of the things for me, this is going to sound so easy, you really have to talk to God and listen. Because, like early on, we were called the Keith Cook Evangelistic Association. And we went everywhere, you know, and I was on Billy's list of the evangelists he prayed for, and I got invited to things. But it never went anywhere. But... you know, people tell you things, oh, you're going to be the next Billy Graham, or you're going to be the next, you know, and you got to just pray it up to God and say, God, people are saying this, what can I do? God told me to change the name of our ministry from Keith Cook to On the Go. Why? Because I had a problem with pride. And also, the way he told me that was to say, no one will ever follow you, they'll follow me. And I want this to be a movement of evangelism, not just you. And I think if I'd said, no, God, I want it, it's got to be Keith Cook. And that doesn't mean anybody else is supposed to change it. They don't, like Reed's name is, his ministry scream Reed, because he doesn't have a problem with that. He's got other problems, I'm sure. You know, but I did. And also having talking him back to God and really listening and asking God, where am I wrong? And having a team around you that's allowed to be transparent. And like, my best friend has worked with me since college, before we met. And he has been with me, he's been my VP. And he will tell me, You were a jerk. Who do you think you are? Why did you do that? I mean, you know, he don't want to do it in front of people. But every week, he comes in my office and we spend an hour together talking. Mm-hmm. And he says good stuff and bad. And I say, you're right. And we get on our face before God, and I weep and I cry and I confess it and try to make restitution. But it's something you battle with every single day. Leighton Ford was one of my mentors, and he had a mentor that he brought into my life. And I told everybody at my table this today. When I was 39, this guy listened to me. He'd been with me for a week with the Younger Leaders Conference back then. I was younger. And he says, you need to learn how to hush, relax, and listen. And I wrote it on a card, and I put it on my desk. And if you go to my office right now, it's right in front of me every day. Hush, relax, and listen. And I know where I'm bad. Yeah, I mean, I know those things. I know it. And you just have to pray it to God and give it to God and ask Him to cover your sins.
Once more, I get that. I get the pride, the vertical stuff that we all deal with. I get that. But what I'm talking about is pride that pushes other people away horizontal. I don't want to collaborate because I can do it better. Because, I mean, those kind of things that I think keep collaboration from happening as much as this. I mean, it comes from this.
Okay, collaboration is risky.
Yeah.
It is really risky. And you do it in baby steps. Like one evangelist that I work with a lot now, used to, the very first time we collaborated on anything, he wouldn't let me do hardly anything. What I had to do to earn his trust was do it completely his way, be the gopher. Our ministry was the gopher. Okay? I'm not kidding. When Luis came to Nashville, my city, it stopped all of the festivals we were doing around the cities. It stopped everything. And so, you know, my ministry team, my board was really upset with this partnership thing. You know, here he is coming to our city. And we had to say, wait a minute. Do you not know who this is? I couldn't gather a crowd of 1,000 in every community. He could get the whole town together. You know, and so when he came, but you know what our job was? We were in charge of the security for behind the stage. That's what our ministry did. And that was tough for some of my team to handle. Why are we doing this? Why aren't we out there? You know, we just had to die to self. Because he can do it better. He really can. So sometimes the people they're saying we can do it better, they can. We need to partner with them and just submit and work their system. But, you know, usually what we get to do, how we get in is by bringing the teams that'll win souls. And then they know that we're not going to try to get in the way, and we will submit, and we can be a good partner. And then we get to the table and we help them plan. How can we do this better? And it builds from that. So it might not be that they may really can do it better. But some people have, like Reed and I, and Alan, Mark, we really do believe we're better. We're better. We're better together.
Together. Mm-hmm.
We are better
together. Sean, what was the name of that book you mentioned?
Rooting for Your Rivals.
I think that sounds like a good book to read. Because you just brought up, pride's real. It's just going to be real. It's part of the flesh. It's part of our weakness. We know the scripture, you know. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. We know that. Living that out is another thing. And so I think you have to be purposed in it. I'm close enough to Keith, he'll call me out. I mean, Keith would even, we're close enough that he'd say, that's just a little, that's prideful. You're a little off track there. We're close enough friends, he'd be able to do that. So I think, and of course, all of us who have wives or families
I would tell Vicky to tell him.
My daughter surely would tell him, oh, this is Dad. I don't even hear Dad again. I've heard him. My daughter's walk away when I get to preach at a festival. I'm like, my daughter wasn't here. She goes, I've heard that all before. So,
do you know how that works in practicalities? Is when leaders that you're working with just talk about things like, how do you think that went tonight? Or, wow, how could we have done something different? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, yeah, you really messed that up. And you can just say things like, well, you know, we learned something tonight, didn't we? We learned that we need to be a little more open to the pastors, and we need to listen to them when they say these things. Instead of saying you didn't listen to them, you can say something like that, and it builds them up, because really, we're fragile. People like us, we're thin when it comes to our craft. You know, we're fragile. You know, don't come up and say certain things to me at the wrong time, because I'll break. You know.
Yeah, I had somebody say one time that we ask for suggestions, but we don't want suggestions, we want affirmations.
Yeah.
We don't be able to tell us how great we're not, how we can get better.
Working with other ministry, though, that's a good word. I think you got to be purposed, because to stay away from the pride of we do it better than they do, or we could, or why is God blessing them and this, you know, that we have to just guard against that. I want to ask, when would you say that's not a good idea to collaborate or to be in unity with one?
God says no.
Yes.
God says no.
I don't think it'd ever be for me to collaborate with someone. I mean, it just depends on who fits.
Right.
I kind of look at it like Mission Impossible. Right? You got a mission. This is your mission. Fits.
Yeah.
Right.
What team?
Okay.
Team
fits. Well, I'm looking for a broader, more obvious answer.
Mm-hmm. When there's a financial conflict, like if when you reach out to someone and they feel like there's a, like his story, I think was really powerful, where someone would ask you to contribute to this, and they're saying, but you must contribute $10,000 in order to, maybe that's somebody that you don't collaborate with.
There's a difference in values.
Difference in values, but maybe specifically like,
you don't believe in
you don't even believe in salvation through faith in Christ and faith in Christ alone.
It says, no goes among whom you labor. Where are we at with Jesus? Get down to the essentials.
Well, there's good and best. I mean, it's like a music festival is really fun and good. Yeah, do it, church. But do we need to be a part of just a music festival that all you're going to do is sing? The church may need the praise and worship rally. But does an evangelist, do we need to stop and not do a festival over here or an outreach over here to be a part of that?
See, and everybody's is different. I mean, you have to, whatever the Lord's leading you, if God says no, but collaborating will be messy. It's for the greater good for us. For me, I was years ago, there's a place that does, they bring Christian concerts in, which are a great value, but they wanted us to partner. And I said, oh, so does somebody present, it doesn't have to be me, but is somebody going to present the gospel? No, we're not doing that. Well, then we're probably not in. I mean, or working on a social services thing, is the part that we bring the gospel? Can we bring that in addition to the service? And it's okay to do those things without, you can collaborate with people, and they collaborate all the time, great Christian causes and social causes. But for us, I mean, we're evangelists. We're like, well, how do we fit? That's not part of our mission. So,
This may be specific to New York City. I don't know. even with working on the Palau Festival to happen in 2015, you deal with churches that will not be part unless they are absolutely in control. And we do concerts in Central Park. We do other kinds of events, prayer gatherings for all the universities in the city. And we just run into some who just won't be part of it unless they're in charge. That one of the bigger churches in New York would not be part of the Luis Palau Festival because they were not going to be in charge. And one of the ministers there apologized to me for that, but he was very sad. That's I don't know how else to put it. That sometimes makes you want to weep because it is about the body. We are not, first of all, we're not in charge. It's God who's in charge. He is not in charge. It's not going to work.
One thing we've said, on touching on that, we did our first festival in Miami, and God has blessed me to be a part of the airline industry, so we a lot of times fly to a lot of places where we can get to. And this one pastor said, I need to be in his office at 7 a.m. He had no other time, so we drove and got to Miami. It was about a 9-10 hour drive. Got there about 3 in the morning, took a shower. 7 o'clock, I'm in his office, shares the vision, and he looks at me and goes, how much is this going to make my church? I was like, maybe I need to repeat the vision because I'm not taking a salary. And he goes, well, if my church is not making money off it, we're not going to be involved. So you get those. And me and my wife always say, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. You pay for it.
God guides, God provides. Let's close it with, because you really can speak to this, but we talk about pre-event or affinity events. See, that's a way for people to collaborate. I've had more fun at doing some pre-events sometimes than the event where you got a main stage. You guys talk about how you do some of those or what those are.
Yeah. So, for example, going to Russia on Saturday. So we're doing outreaches across Moscow and St. Petersburg. Appreciate your prayers. I just got my visa today, at least Saturday. Second to China, Russia's been the hardest country to get a visa for. So it's crazy. But God's moving, so pray for Moscow and St. Petersburg. But yeah, like Alan was saying, I mean, the Affinity events are awesome because we'll work with churches, and so we'll do lunches and dinners in restaurants, and then we'll do target groups, right? So we'll target to business leaders, we'll target to civil leaders, we'll travel to men, women, married couples, youth, you name it, kind of the whole spectrum, teachers. We've done, you know, it felt like if a church has a lot of teachers, we'll do a teacher's outreach. And so we can bring a lot of people in who can share their testimony, who are teachers. I'm talking about people we invite to come with us to collaborate. Also, we've done it so where we can do like 6 events a day. And so if I'm bringing another evangelist, Keith can do 2 events, Alan can do two events, and then Mark and I can do 2 events, whatever. I mean, we can really saturate Moscow and St. Petersburg. For example, you can't do anything open air, but if you're hitting 2 or 3 events, I mean, you can get thousands of people by the end of 2 weeks. Small, right? Small steps. Big impact, right? And Luis is quoted saying this all the time, that big doors turn on small hinges, right?
Yeah.
And so when you can get those small hinges in cities like Moscow and St. Petersburg, huge door for the gospel, and a lot of people come to Christ. So through the Affinity events with other evangelists and other partners, man, we can saturate a whole city one meal at a time, right? As you're having lunch or dinner. So that's another strategic thing we've done, and we're doing that in the next couple weeks in Moscow and St. Petersburg. Yeah.
Cool.
A couple more questions, and then we just got a few minutes left.
Challenges of doing festivals in state capitals, have you found problems with the collaboration with churches in the state capitals?
In capital cities? The permits sometimes are unique, and the media. If they're for you, great, you can really, but if they come after you, you got to be ready. We were doing a deal in one city, and they came after someone on the team for just something silly, but because it made headlines, the night before our festival, it was almost completely shut down, and we had to, with the venue was, it had a clause that they could shut us down, and they were going to, and my associate and I stayed up all night long going back and forth. If we do this, can we come? No. And it was just back and forth. And finally, like 4 hours before the event, they said, okay. And we had done enough, but the things that we had to do to jump through those hoops in order to share the gospel, it was nothing about the gospel, but it was just the perception that they didn't want to be perceived as endorsing something that the community thought was not right, you know. And so we have to be really careful because they're coming after, the media, the culture is coming after all of us. We've been told that, you know, in the future it might be harder to do things in the capital cities because it's tough. So we're going to have to, the Affinity things that they'd have to do in Russia and some of the things that we're doing internationally could be some great strategies to be implementing in some of these cities. When you don't have any social components, when you don't have any community-wide values that they see as being addressable, you're sort of open. So the acts of kindness, the season of service, we call it Go Care projects, those things are really important. We always thought back in the day that Billy was doing these things, Billy Graham, and why are you doing those things? Well, because there was somebody in the city that was bringing that up, you know, and talking about them. And, you know, we're conservatives and evangelicals and Christians are being accused now of not caring, not loving, being narrow-minded, being bigoted, you know, all kinds of things. And we need to make sure that we're not, you know, that we're doing everything that needs to be done in the city. But it's important. And one of the ways that we address it is we go to the mayors, we go to the city, we get the permits, we don't do things that are illegal. And you try to be as men and women of integrity. You do have sponsors that are local. It really helps when the sponsors are on board and they're local people.
So, one more question.
I just wanted to thank you guys for setting an example for the rest of us on how to be able to do this. I'm not a small platform, but I'm a very large platform repeatedly. It's amazing to hear the experiences that you guys have had together with ministries. And it's been a lot of labor pride on the federal expansion of the kingdom. So thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, good example right here in front of us of working together.
Brother Mark, can close us out in prayer.
Awesome.
I will say, Keith and I have a PowerPoint we've done together before. It's not necessarily on collaboration. It's on keys to citywide transformation on doing events, large events. But some of these questions of working with others and collaborating are brought up in this. So be happy to send it to you guys. Mm-hmm. Got to pay Keith for it, but otherwise.
I'm very grateful. Father God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Father God, for the words that have spoken through us, Father God, and we thank you for Keith and Alan and Reed right now. Father God, I just want to lift up Brother Reed as he approaches Moscow.
Father God,
let doors be open that no man should close. Father God, let the word go forth through him, decrease him, and increase the Holy Spirit in him, that they would see Jesus Christ in Moscow through him, Father God. Father God, I pray right now there will be no resistance through him right now. Thank you for his visa to allow him to cross over to Moscow to do his work. And Father God, I just thank you for everyone here. I pray that collaboration will continue through them. Father God, allow our availability to be open to them, not just that we spoke with them, that we would use what you've given us, the gift that you've given us to bless them with. And Father God, as me and my wife would love to say, put your super on our natural as we do what you've given us to do. We ask you all these blessings in your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.